Okay, let's. Thanks, Shoot. I'll let you start. So it doesn't get too noisy out there.
Well, basically, we wanted to know a little bit about the your experience here at the ISKCON Zero Percent Temple, and what you know about maybe you remember from his history with building this temple, and how you think the temple atmosphere has helped with the meetings, or just how you've experienced the meetings as you've been here.
I've not really known much about the Tirupati's development or history, aside from what I officially hear. GBC, I heard about the opening and all the wonderful news from that, the devotees that I would meet, how they would say it's such a wonderful project. And really representative of Srila Prabhupada, and that behind that is, you know, Ray Thiran is the one who's really making it work. And so in that sense, I was sort of programmed when I came. I expected to find something wonderful, and it was. It was really a wonderful, wonderful place. The second place was the devotees, and how so many devotees are really OD'd on looking after the guests. And that type of Vaishnava Seva is very, very inspiring. It's humbling. And it actually sort of sets the bar for devotees everywhere. But to please Krishna, I think we need to please the devotees. And certainly, Krishna, the best way to serve Krishna is by serving large numbers. And again, that comes from Revati Ramaku, who every time I see someone coming, he's there to greet them. Now when everyone's leaving, he's just accompanying, he's taking Gopal Krishna Maharaj out, he's accompanying him out. And he's a gentleman. And that's what Prabhupada wanted, that a Vaishnava is a perfect gentleman. So this is a good place for gentlemen.
What about the temple itself and the surrounding landscape? What are your impressions of it?
I've been meditating. I've been up on the roof for the last 2 hours. And it's a wonderful place. When we were up in Balaji, you know, it's Krishna. They view him as Narayan, whose come is Krishna, which is a little different than what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us. But here, this is sort of actually become the gateway to Tirupati, because this is where everyone goes. And this is actually the real statement that Govinda up there, that actually this is the way he's worshipped the best. With Srimati Radharani and Gopis, in other words, in the mood of the Vrijvasis. And that's not explicit. That's hidden. That's why I asked how many of the pujaris think like that. He says, not many, but there are some who say that this is Govardhan Hill, and the Jamuna is in that big pukur that's just outside, and that anyway, they have the concept of Vrindavan. So if you have a concept of Vrindavan, then that's the best way. But anyway, it's part of the variegatedness of worship. Perfect, more perfect, most perfect. Krishna's worshipped in different ways. So that's why Krishna says in the Gita that a person of one realization should not necessarily disturb the minds of someone with another realization. Because this is also Krishna consciousness. Different perspective, different angle of Krishna consciousness. But it's very impressive. Those hills are hypnotizing. They just have a real hypnotic effect. the snake. You know, the snake moves, and that's what it does. It hypnotizes you. So you look at them. They're just like that. They're like anatta, hypnotic.
Have you had a chance to go anywhere besides Balaji's temple and his temple?
No, because we've been tied down by mediums. And I want to start to go to this Kapila Tirtha, which is just here. And that's where everyone bathes. And that's where they say Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathed when he came. So I'd like to go there. And then depending on, depending on time and so on, then I like to go in the evening when they take Malaya Pap is in the temple room anyway, called the father of the hills. When they take him, he's the Utsav Devi. They take him around in the evening. There's a lot to see.
And the after picture, devotees were coming out smiling and effulgent, completely different.
I sent all those pictures away in 450 megabytes.
Yeah. We had a good time. That was only one tenth of the photos taken.
Yeah. Well, the first thing is that we're out of a meeting room, out of a meeting, out of the building, so that was already liberating. And of course we were in the car together. I don't know what they were talking about on the way up the hill. I wasn't with them. But certainly when we got up and we're in a different atmosphere, so immediately everyone was much more loose and free, and it was different. But the real focal point, the center point, was Balaji, and I think everyone was really sort of eager to see what would come here, the wealthiest deities in the world, the most opulent temple in the world. And then we'd already gone in, you weren't there for that. We went in, and when we went in, there's this little theater, holding theater. And that was not in the temple, that was just in the compound. And then Revati Ramakrishna started telling the stories. He started telling the pastime. And then he started telling his own experiences. And that really sort of set the scene. And he told very very personal things. And that was like something that really sort of prepared or disarmed the GBC. After that, the atmosphere sort of melted, and it wasn't that, you know, we just went in and saw Balaji. First we went in and we were greeted, and then they took us inside the temple, and we were in another big area, big, 5 times the size of this, where they made us wait. And then we saw different things, like Balaji's spear that he goes hunting with every afternoon. They were just polishing it, and that's where also the daily wedding takes place. And then from there, they took us in. But to get there was, you know, we went past all the queues and everything, and from there they took us into Balaji, and then what you saw as you go closer and closer and closer, and then we went right up. It was that far. And then that was, I think, what really broke the ice. Well, the ice was already broken, but, you know, it was that connection with Krishna, and he's so powerful, and so he had that sort of effect. And then after that, we saw other things. We went to see his clothes. We got darshan of his clothes. They got put on our heads. And I went to see Nrisimhadev, his family deity, and then there's this where they make chandan. It's a big, big, big stone, and you're supposed to wish stone. You're supposed to write in it in water, and then your wish comes true. Daughters became more and more disarmed, childlike. And it's just the effect of the Dham. And that's what it was. You know, we went in, you could say it's GBC on a parikrama, just came out, devotees on a parikrama. And, yeah, servants trying to be servants of Krishna. And it was also that relief that this is actually what we want to do, this is what the purpose of our meetings is. But we very rarely have that opportunity to just then talk amongst each other, just to share, just to see how others react, what are their realizations, what they talk about, see how someone's reaction to some kind of pastime, and hear these things, experience these things together. Because we were together, although when we were like coming out, I saw Shesha Prabhu coming in. I don't know how he came so late, but. And then Ramindra Supa was already out a half hour earlier than us. And we were also in little groups. You know, some of us were going this way, and some others were going that way. And, yeah, it was. It changed. It changed. When it came out, they were just pilgrims, not GBC.
Was that mood brought back to the meetings, do you feel at all? Or was it separated?
Yeah, it had, at least for me, it remained like a real nice meditation all throughout that. You better appreciate the presence of Balaji, the teacher's up there about 3 miles, well, more than that, about 4 or 5 miles away. And like when you go to Puri, then wherever you are, you can feel Jagannath's presence. So I think it helped. It helps. The more Krishna conscious we are, the more aware of the Lord's presence, the better the meetings go. But meetings are still meetings. It's different than going on parikrama.
Would you like to see the GBC body as collectively do more things like this, parikrama?
When I was the chairman in 1990 or 1991, Brahma. When I was chairman, then I proposed that we just go on parikrama. We just go around on Navadvip parikrama, have half day of meetings, and just walk and just keep our devotees down. Many GBCs weren't enthusiastic for that. But yes, we discussed that we would do that. That it's something the GBC as a body needs to do to actually hold retreats, to just be somewhere together without a management agenda, and just and even necessarily not discussing some philosophy or not arguing, but just actually being Krishna conscious, chanting and hearing together over an extended period of time. So that's on the agenda. Yeah. Because meetings are so intense, especially when they go for 14 days. It really takes a lot. And they have sort of their own consciousness demands. And it's like everything, you know, taking prasadam is wonderful, but you can't eat prasadam all the time. And but you can't chant Hare Krishna all the time. And unless you chant Hare Krishna with both taking prasadam and doing other things, it doesn't work. So just meeting without chanting, without really being together as devotees, the picture's different. And that's what really helped. Is, you know, we lose sight of the personal side, who the devotees are. They become names, they're people on the other side of the desk, table, someone with some type of position or a proposal. And that's something that we really just need to get into. who we are as individuals. Otherwise we get to identify too much with these roles rather than with the person inside.
That's great. That's a very good
question. We catch it on tape saying that this was his first time.
Oh yeah, you could just say again really quick that this was your first time to this.
It was first time. I've heard about Tirupati, I've read about it, I've seen videos of the deity out on Utsava, but I was never here, and I was surprised. I was shocked. First, I didn't know that I was in India. That was the first thing I observed. We were driving up the hill, and it was clean. There was no dirt. Everything. There's one way up and then one way down. In other words, there's one road that goes up and a different road that comes down. So that there's no opposing traffic. And up there it was clean and organized. And I thought, this is fine. The only experience I had then when I first went to Jaipur was like that about 35 years ago. It was clean and neat, and it's not like that anymore. But it was at the time. And that's, India could be like this. They should run India. They should run India and clean the whole place up. Very, very, and so something that we could really learn. Yadavarpa, who told me when he came with Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada said that New Vrindavan should be organized like this. And I got inspired. And they have free accommodation. They feed 50,000 people free every day. And not just Khichdi, but they give a full meal. And deities get 2-3 truckloads of flowers from all over India. Truckloads of flowers. And have unlimited wealth. Literally speaking, they have unlimited wealth. So it's for Srila Prabhupada. In one lecture, he's talking about worshipping the deities, and he says, he talks about offering clothes, outfits, and first starts off, yes, we should offer Krishna clothes, just like we offer new clothes, and then he says, we offer new clothes every day. He says, why every day? We should do it twice a day. No, five times a day. And because the more that we serve Krishna, then everything works out. And this is really an example of that. This is a really example that if we actually please Krishna, serve Krishna, and spread the wealth, they don't hoard it. You've got a lot of temples, see temples in Vrindavan, where the deities are a means of sustenance for the pujaris, and they just take what the deities have. When I talked to the pujari at Radha Damodar Temple, in Jiva Goswami's time, Radha Damodar's property extended like what all of Loy Bazaar is, all the way to Radhakund, that all is all the deity's property. In the course of time, they just sold it all. And interestingly, that in Loy Bazaar, asked them how much they pay rent, because that's still Radha Damodar's property. They still pay something like, I don't know, 5 rupees a month rent, because that was the contract back 150 years ago or something, 100 years ago. So, but it's a real example of you serve Krishna, you serve the pilgrims and Vaishnavas, and they just don't know what to do with all the money that they get. You get real wealth, real opulence. And that's what the Srila Prabhupada, he wanted our deity worship to be like Lord Jagannath's was, 56 offerings a day. You just keep feeding him, you keep pressing him, you keep offering flowers and gardens, and you don't need to worry about anything. Everything else will come. You start using them for maintenance. Because I heard that the pujari, Rupesh Vaidrani, he told me that the pujaris, the families are all down here, but when they're doing service, they all live up there. And he showed me the house that they live in. And so it's just like a brahmachari ashram. They all live all together, and they stay there, and when they turn for service finished, then they come down to their families. Otherwise, they're just living up there. Simple conditions. And I'm sure there's so many other wonderful things. In one sense, it's sort of like a remnant of a previous age, almost. 25,000 employees. It's a town. It's a town centered around Krishna. You didn't hear, there's the hundi, there's this bag that you go where they throw in, and he told you, Revati, that whatever goes in there stays. As once somebody dropped while they're pouring money, their child fell in, and they wouldn't let him take him out. They took all the child away, put him to Gurukul, and he just became Balaji's property. Someone dropped their baby in by mistake, and that was it. Since, yeah. More temples were like that in days of yore.
I've seen you offer babies in your Bhajadam too.
We give them back though. We give them back. They didn't give them back. Okay.
While we were waiting outside for you all to come in, while we were waiting outside at that exit area, Shada and I wondered who would be the first UBC member to come out. And we just thought, who would it be? And after some time, after we got all the Mahaprasad and the security guards were giving, we saw a witness room just kind of like walking out, like lost in the dark, separated from everyone. We're just laughing so much. And he said, I don't know where everyone went. I just got lost. It's a maze in there.
And we're like, well, what does that mean? And he was technically the first one out, but he was lost. And then we were waiting for the whole group to come out.
When the whole group came out, you came. We were guessing, and we both thought, you asked me what I thought, and I was like, oh, sure, I'm sorry, maybe. And she was like, yeah, that's what I think, too. So when everyone came out as a group, you were leading everyone.
I didn't know where I was going either. Lokanath Maharaj had been there before. He knew what was going on. And, like I said, sometimes some of you go this way, some of you go that way.
Well, that's why I thought to tell you that story, because it was just...
And all the boys over there were all guessing, like, who would be the first person.
It was a nice experience. It was a nice experience.
It was a really nice experience for us too, even not going in for darshan that day. Yeah. It was really a powerful thing. It was just such a powerful
presence
up there.
Yeah, you can feel his presence.
And because we were kind of more objective, because we knew we weren't going in, we knew like already we were filled with this sense that we were going to miss something. But then we ended up having Babaji's darshan through Vindus Rupu's description. Yeah. That was the first darshan we had. But before that, we had all the steaming prasadam.
They just kept bringing prasadam to us.
We and curd rice and, the sweet pongal. And then we got darshan through, Ramnath Swami just using all his energy to break this huge ladu and only gave it for two of us. And all this different prasadam and stories. And
you're just hearing all the stories from the boys.
But then we got to experience it from we got to experience all of you from an excused point of view, so we were able to watch and see it as compared to being, subjectively experiencing.
Yeah.
It was interesting to go back on Friday, but having already had the primary experience and then just being completely focused on the big impression of
Well, if you consider that he's being worshipped, you know, for four ages now, since last Kali Yuga, so much, with so much devotion, and so he's reciprocating in such a powerful place. And, you know, what Revati told us is that this mountain is from Vaikuntha, that Garuda brought this mountain from Vaikuntha, and it's gold. It's a solid gold mountain. To us it looks like this, but it's gold, Vaikuntha gold. So you can take a piece.
Gopavadapuru told me that the rice that they were throwing, that each grain of rice is worth $2 million.
$1 million.
Oh, $1 million.
Now it's expanding already. I got that little containers full of rice, of that rice.
Yeah. But Maharaj, it's important that you put the rice where the money is. So you put rice in your wallet, like a grain of rice in your wallet, or where you are, or like in the kundi of your temple.
Yeah, well, I'm going to put that in Radhisham's
safe.
No, eat it. What about on the altar? Is that right?
I guess you're, yeah.
Yeah, that's been my prayer to Balaji, is that he sort of shares some of the wealth. He's got so much, he doesn't know what to do with it. Spread it around a little with some of his concentrics.
That's a nice prayer. I was also really struck by the relationship between ISKCON and the Balaji company. When we were waiting outside for all of it, the officials were just, they were approaching us, they really wanted to speak to us, and they were just saying, thank you, you've dedicated your entire life to Krishna, you're such great souls, and like on and on and on. It was really embarrassing.
They gave us the royal treatment. We met many people, I don't know who were all people, but they kept introducing us, and then the state minister or someone was also there. Just as we were there, we also met him. People were very, very nice. Yeah. I mean, considering that, you know, Jagannath, they still won't let us in, even though there's a law that they're supposed to. But the Pandas still won't let us in. And here they gave us the VIP treatment. Although you noticed on the sheet, they asked what your religion was.
We're trying to figure out which would be the top religion amongst the TV saints.
It's no secret.
That's what Maya said. The treasure was not even Protestant.
I was there was no
clue. A lot of people put it in zero.
Zero.
Okay. So is that it? We got it?
I think that's great. Okay.